Will you turn, please, in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19? Turn into the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19. I believe this is the message the Lord has for us tonight. We just want to simply call it, it's really a question, what doest thou here, Elijah? Why is Elijah here? What's he doing? We want to learn tonight. We'll read from verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? You will notice over in verse 13, And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering of, in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we study the life of Elijah, we notice him to be a very remarkable man. Elijah was a man of deep devotion. He was a man of obedience and of the deepest faith. And as we look at his life and as we study his life, things in it go really, really well until we reach this portion here, chapter 19 in 1 Kings. This is no doubt a sad chapter in the life of this man. Indeed, if this was written about you or me, it would be a sad chapter in our life as well. But it's very up to date. Maybe you think, well, that was written all those years ago about Elijah. That portion has absolutely nothing to do with me. Well, we can learn from this tonight, and I believe it's very applicable for us here tonight in Korean. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like us. James reminds us in James 5 in the verse 17, Elias or Elijah was a man, subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was a man who had the same desires as we have. He was a man that would have fallen into the same holes, into the same pitfalls that we would fall in. You know, it's an easy thing sometimes to look at somebody else and see the mess they're making of their life. But it's a harder thing to look at our lives and see the mess that we are making of our lives. But Elijah, even though he was a godly man and a man with the deepest faith, he was a man who did the same things that we do. Let me ask you tonight, do you ever get discouraged? Have you ever felt depressed? Have you ever had a feeling of anxiety? Have you ever felt despondent? Have you ever looked at your life and felt yourself despairing? Has fear ever gripped you in your life? Does doubts ever overtake you? You know, some people find it an embarrassing thing to admit to being depressed. But here was a man and he felt that way. Do you ever feel lonely? Do you ever feel and think that nobody understands how you feel or the problems that you're going through? Have you ever been, or are you tonight, at the end of your tether? You feel that you can take no more. We all feel like this sometimes. Even godly men like Elijah Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and that's just how you feel. You're at the end of your tether. You have, as far as you're concerned, made a real mess of your life. And here you are and you're not saved. And you look at your life and you think, what can I do to have peace? What can I do to have joy and contentment and happiness in my life? Because my life's empty. I've tried this, that, and the other thing, and my life's broken. My life's a mess. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and trust in Him as your own and personal Savior, and He will give you peace. He will give you rest. He will give you that joy and that contentment. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 9 and 13, the question is asked, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you here? Elijah, what are you doing here? Maybe you ask yourself that question every day you go to work. What am I doing here? Maybe you'd like to be back at home or doing some other thing. But I want you tonight just to stop and look at your life and ask yourself the question. Put your name in where Elijah's is. And ask yourself the question, what doest thou here? Why was Elijah at this point? Maybe that's how things find you tonight. You feel like Elijah felt in this portion of God's Word. Let us learn tonight from Elijah very quickly. And the first thing that we want to notice is the predicament that Elijah was in. Elijah found himself in a desperate condition. He was suddenly gripped by fear and alarm. He was afraid. This is the same courageous man that we read of in 1 Kings chapter 18. You turn back a few pages there, 1 Kings 18, just over the page, verse 17, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab was asking Elijah, are you the man that's bringing all of this trouble upon Israel? What does Elijah say? Verse 18, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. He was standing up to the king. What a courageous man he was. He was standing up to the king and he was saying, listen, it's not me that's bringing trouble upon the land, but it's you and your father's house, because you have turned away from God. You are worshipping idols and false gods. You have turned aside and you are following after Balaam. It's not me that's bringing the trouble, it's you. But yet in chapter 19 we find this same man is a man gripped with fear, a man who's worried, a man who's full of anxiety. And in the previous chapter, just a little while ago, he's standing up to the king. What a difference, what a contrast there is in these two instances in this man's life. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 3, it tells us, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Jezebel was a wicked woman, and she had decreed that she would see that Elijah would be put to death. That's what it tells us in verse 2. She sent a messenger with that message. And Elijah stands back, and he looks at this threat, and he runs for his life. He's afraid. He runs away. He runs for his life, or he runs to save his life. Fear is a dreadful thing. His mind was overwhelmed with fear. Why should he flee this woman? Why should he flee from the threats of this woman? Maybe you said to me tonight, Mark, if you knew my wife, you'd run as well. But Jezebel was only a woman, even though she was a wicked woman, even though she was a nasty woman, even though she had threatened this man's life. God could have snuffed her out in a moment's time. Remember, Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a godly man. God had a very particular job for Elijah to do. His job was to purge out idolatry in the nation at that time. The people had turned away from God and they had turned to worship other gods. They were involved in the worship of Baal. They were worshipping idols. And now the man that God has given a very peculiar job to, what does he do? He runs away. He's running in fear. He flees. All of the people are discouraged and they return to idolatry. God had kept him. God had kept and delivered Elijah from the king and 450 of Baal's priests. He had also the people that went against him over the famine. We don't have time to go into that tonight, but it's in 1 Kings 18 and the verse 2. So God had delivered him from so much. Why should he fear the threats of this woman? And here you are tonight in cold rain. You think of what God has delivered you from. You think of how far God has brought you tonight. And look at the silly little circumstances. Look at the trivial little issues in your life that you're becoming despondent over. Those issues, those trials, those temptations, those discouragements that are pulling you down. You just stand back and look over your life and see what God has brought you from. You're saved tonight. He has brought you from sin. He's brought you from a life of sin and a life of wickedness, a life of emptiness, a life of brokenness. And see how you're becoming discouraged. James 5 and 17, Elijah was just a man. Elijah couldn't stand the presence of his servant. We notice that in verse 3. Because Elijah, it tells us there, when he sees this, he flees for his life. He comes to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. He didn't want to be in the company of his servant. Why is it that whenever we are strained, why is it that whenever we are under pressure, we want to be isolated from the company of other people? We want to be on our own. We want to be away from everybody. Because their company, it irritates us. Maybe your family irritates you all the time, I don't know. But whenever you're under pressure, sometimes you just want your own space. You want to be alone. You want to be on your own. Elijah was like that. Elijah was overwhelmed with despair. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." He was asking God to end his life. Oh, poor Elijah. Elijah was overwhelmed with despair. "Lord, take away my life. I have had enough." Poor Elijah sitting there under the juniper tree at wit's end corner. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever looked at your life and said, "I wish my life was over"? Yes, maybe you are a Christian. And that's the way you have prayed. Maybe you have prayed just as Elijah prayed. "Lord, I wish my life was over." Maybe illness, maybe sickness, maybe testing, trial. Maybe some problem that has come into your life and it's still with you today. And sometimes you just wish that the Lord would take you home to glory. That's no way for a Christian to pray. God had a job for Elijah to do and he wasn't doing that job. And here you are tonight, a Christian. God has a job for you to do. And if you're thinking along those lines, you're not doing the job that God has for you to do. Elijah was unwise in his praying. I know Christians that have prayed like this. Indeed, the psalmist even himself prayed along these lines. It's Psalm 55, verse 3 to 8. He was crying out in depths of despair. How can a Christian feel like this when we remember that God has a job for us to do? You see, the problem with Elijah was he was full of self-pity. He was full of self-pity. He was there feeling sorry for himself. That's a dangerous way to be. Elijah had an unbalanced view of things. Because in 1 Kings 19, in the verse 10, it tells us there, he's asked the question, "What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you here?" And his response to that was, verse 10, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." How distorted a view this man had. Yes, the people had turned away from God. Yes, the people had turned into idolatry. But here he thinks now that they all seek his life. They all didn't seek his life. They all hadn't turned away into idolatry. He's wrong in his view. He's wrong to think that he was alone. It is the case that all the Israelites did worship Baal except 7,000. And you will notice there in verse 18 that after, whenever the Lord had come and he was speaking to Elijah, and the Lord was speaking to him and he was speaking back. And in verse 18, the Lord says to Elijah, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So there were 7,000 people there set apart that hadn't worshipped Baal. What did Elijah think? I am left. "Lord, here am I on my own, fighting this battle for you. Nobody around me, nobody near me." There were 7,000 there. You see, discouragement had distracted him. And maybe that's like you tonight. Maybe you're discouraged. And discouragement has distracted you in God's work. Discouragement has distracted you in your Christian life. Whatever reason, discouragement has come into your life. You feel down. You feel despondent. You ask yourself the question, what's the point in going on? Elijah temporarily lost his faith in God. Oh yes, he still believed in God. He still knew that God could help him, but he didn't trust him. He didn't trust him in an emergency, and he fell to pieces. Elijah had a spiritual breakdown. Let me ask you tonight, are you going well for God? Are you going on good for God? Are you going flat out for God? Are you craving after God? Have you a thirst for His Word? Have you a thirst for His preaching? It's important that in this high-speed age that we learn the secret of wise living. We need to live wisely today. We need to avoid the emotional upset that comes with being unwise. That's the predicament that Elijah was in. Notice with me the pathway that he went. The pathway that he went. The name of the road that Elijah was on was called Give Up. It's easy to give up. I remember whenever I was at school, if there was a maths question that was too hard, I just left it to the next day. And I said to the teacher, I don't understand it, and I want you to go over it with me. I just give up too easy. Instead of sitting down and trying to work my way through the problem, trying to work my way through the question, I just give up and said, oh, it takes too much time for that. I haven't time. Maybe you're going through life and it's easier to give up than to work your way through the problem. What road are you walking on tonight? Are you walking on the road, give up? Are you walking on the road, serving God with all my might? Are you walking on the name of the road called rejoicing in Jesus? Maybe you're walking on the road that is leading you away from Christ. Maybe you're walking on that broad road that leads to hell and to destruction for all of God's eternity. Maybe you're not walking with God at all. Maybe you're not even saved. Your life's a mess. Your life's empty. There's an emptiness and a yearning and a longing within your heart. Friend, you're on the wrong road. You need to get onto that narrow road, that road with Christ. You need to trust Him as your Savior. You need to realize that you're a sinner and that the road that you're walking on, at the end of that road, it will lead you to a Christless hell forever. You need to get onto the road for Christ. Here was Elijah. His life, the things that he was doing, it was only depressing his spirit. He was mentally strained. He had experienced tension from the victory at Mount Carmel and the slaughter of all those priests in 1 Kings chapter 18. He was physically exhausted. Not only had Elijah, in all of his past experiences, taken a demand on his body, but in verse 3 we learn that he fled for his life. And then in verse 4 we discover that he walked himself a further day's journey into the wilderness. So he's tired. He's physically tired. You will see there he went to Beersheba. Commentators would tell us that from where he was to where he was going, that was 18 miles. So he ran 18 miles. Could you run 18 miles? I'd say you'd be ready for a sleep after it. He was tired. He was physically drained. He was spiritually out of touch. Because we notice in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Elijah had his priorities all wrong. Elijah had taken his eyes off the Lord and looked at his circumstance. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 30. We have heard about somebody like that before. Somebody else that has taken their eyes off the Lord. Somebody else who has looked at their circumstance and things has went wrong. Of course, it's Peter. Matthew 14 and the verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, sometimes it's an easy thing to criticize Peter for taking his eyes off the Lord. But Peter was the only one of all of the disciples who stepped out of the boat. And maybe you're a Christian here tonight, and it's an easy thing for you to sit back and to criticize other Christians. As you look at them in God's work, and as you watch them and see the things that they do in God's work, it's an easy thing to criticize them. But they're the only ones that have stepped out of the boat, out of the safety of that little vessel, and has launched out into the deep with God to serve Him. Peter was the only one that stepped out of the boat. What about you here tonight? Are you still in the boat? Are you still in the safety of your little boat? You're just saved and that's it. You don't do anything more for God. You're safe in the boat. You're not going to fall. You're not going to do things wrong because you're safe in your little boat. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have never stepped out of that little boat, that boat of sin, that is sailing you as fast as you can go to a lost eternity. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, and you sit back and you look at other Christians and you listen and you hear and you see the problems. You listen and you hear and you see the discouragements. And you say to yourself, you know, if I was, I wouldn't want to be a Christian, because look at all the problems they have to work through. Look at all the problems they have to put up with. And here was Elijah, a godly man. He faced problems too. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't make you invincible. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you're exempt from discouragements or problems or troubles or turmoils or any of those other problems that you face. Well, I'll tell you one problem that you will face that a Christian will never face, and that's a lost eternity. Tell me, what will you do whenever you come to stand before God? Yes, Elijah, with all of his discouragements and problems, God was with him all the way. Elijah took his eyes off the Lord, and it's a disaster every time. Friend, tonight, if you're a Christian, keep your eyes on the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get your eyes on the Lord, because if you don't, it'll be a disaster. You look at what happened to Peter there. We see his terrible circumstance. He was in the midst of a storm. We see what happened. He took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. And what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." Friend, tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, you're sinking in your sin. Peter was sinking down in the depths of that water. And what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." If you're not saved tonight, that's what you need to cry. "Lord, save me. Lord, I know you died for me." This is Easter time. We remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose again triumphant that third day. Why? That you might have your sins forgiven and that you might go home to be with him in heaven for all of God's great eternity. Will you not cry that tonight? "Lord, save me. Save me, Lord." By the way that we live our lives, at home, in school or work, we need to look after ourselves. We can't afford to break down as Elijah broke down. Because of your lifestyle, because of the things that you do in life, because of the way that you live your life, are you mentally strained? Is there anxiety in your life? Are you stressed? Are you worried? Are you upset? Are you uneasy? Elijah was mentally strained. Maybe you're physically exhausted tonight. You're always tired. You're sleepy. You're always in bad form. You're grumpy. You're sharp. Because you're tired. You're physically exhausted. Elijah was physically exhausted. Do you know, if these two things are present, we will be spiritually out of touch with God. Tonight, if you're mentally strained, if you're physically tired, you most likely are out of touch with God. Because Elijah was. And Elijah was a mighty man of God. Elijah was a mighty man of God, and if it can happen to him, it can definitely happen to us. James 5:17, Elijah, Elias, was a man subject to like passions as we are. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Why are you here? Why are you in this position tonight? I want you to examine your life. The meeting is nearly over. Examine your life tonight. You're a Christian. "What doest thou here? Why are you at this juncture in your life? Is it because of tiredness? Because you're out of touch with God? Is that why you feel tonight the way you feel? Unsaved person tonight, why are you at this point in your life? Why are you here? Because you've said no to Jesus Christ so many times. Maybe you're here tonight and your heart has become hard. Maybe it's been an easy thing for you to say no to Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel so many times, so often, it's an easy thing to say no. "Oh, it's just another gospel meeting. The boy will be up, he'll rant and rave for a wee while, sing a closing hymn, or they'll say a prayer and I'll be out, that's it." Why are you here at this point in your life? Notice with me, in closing, the physician that prescribed the cure. The physician that prescribed the cure. God is our great keeper and helper. Elijah was mentally strained, so the Lord dealt with his mind. In verse 8 it tells us, the Lord had told him, the angel comes and says, "The journey is too great for thee." He had to eat, he had to rest. Verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. That was some feed. That feed done Elijah 40 days and 40 nights. I don't think there's any woman here could set a feed up like that. I'd say you'll be going home now from church and you'll be looking at a cup of tea and a wee scone, or they say up in Ballymoney, a wee piece. Our brother was making reference in the announcements about how the Ballymoney folk have tarnished my accent. And that's terrible, because I like to keep my Tandragee accent. But I remember I heard the word peace for the first time recently. Do you know what a peace is? Yes? Like a lunch? Yeah? And this fellow was going on about his peace. And I thought, a piece of what? He's talking about a peace. A piece of what? But I knew then it was a peace box. And a piece of a box is no good to me. I'd want the whole box. But that's just how you go. But let me ask you tonight. God is our great keeper. He is our great physician. And he had got Elijah there in verse 8. He arose, he ate, he drank, he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. You see, God knew exactly what Elijah needed. God wanted Elijah to face reality. He wanted him to look at his fears square on. Look them square on. Elijah was exhausted, so the Lord attended to the needs of the body. Maybe you're here tonight and you're exhausted. You need to attend to the needs of your body. You're a Christian, and you're tired. You look after the body. God prescribed a 6-week holiday for Elijah. Fresh food, sleep, and fresh air. Verse 5 through until the end of verse 8. As he was there under that juniper tree, the angel said, "Arise and eat." There was a keg, verse 6, baking on the coals, a cruse of water. He ate, he drunk. He laid down again, so he's resting. The angel comes to him a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. 6 sevens are 42. So 40 days, almost 6 weeks, God prescribes a period of rest for Elijah. To be a shining light for others around us, we need to have good bodily health. To be a shining light for God, we need good food. Maybe you say you haven't tasted my wife's cooking. Well, you need good food. Don't know where you get it, but you need good food. You need regular and enough sleep. And you need fresh air and exercise. You know, sometimes we can be so spiritual that we neglect the physical. And God prescribed physical cure for Elijah. Elijah was out of touch spiritually, so the Lord dealt with his soul. God gave him a vision of his power. God gave him a vision of his glory and his tenderness in verse 11 and verse 12. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" God was in that still, small voice. He wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God didn't speak to Elijah through the fire. No, he spoke to him in that still, small voice. Oh, that God would give us that today. Elijah needed mental renewal. He needed physical restoration. But most importantly, he needed spiritual revival. Let us take time tonight to be still. Let us take time to hear. Let us take time to be revived in mind and in body. God never told Elijah of his failure, but he recommissioned him. He restored him. You'll notice that in verse 15. "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus." And then he begins to give Elijah the list of jobs that he had for him to do. You know, a spiritual breakdown is never a write-off. Maybe as you are here tonight, you're a Christian. Maybe that's how you feel. You feel as if you've broken down spiritually, for whatever reason. Listen, Elijah was a godly man. And look what happened to him. And see what God prescribed for him. I trust that you'll take that on board tonight as God's redeemed people. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You know, God didn't speak to Elijah in the wind. God didn't speak to Elijah in the earthquake. Didn't speak to him in the fire, but he spoke to him in that still, small voice. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you know that you're not ready for heaven. You know that things aren't going well in your life. And maybe you're just like Elijah was, and you ask yourself the question, what am I doing here? What's the purpose of me here in this life? What's the purpose of me here on this earth? And every time you come to a meeting like this, every time you come to a meeting, you hear that still small voice. You hear God speaking to you and knocking on your heart's door. And you know that you need Christ. I wonder tonight, will you listen to that still small voice? Say, Lord, come into my heart and come into my life. Lord, I've wasted many years. But Lord, I want you to come in. Wash away my sin. Make me ready for heaven. And take me home. I trust this message has been a blessing and a challenge to your heart. Let's close in prayer.